Hi, this is Donnie, and I'm going to read to you the introduction to my book, Reset, An Un-Alien's Guide to Resetting Our Republic. I hope you enjoy it and will cause you to want to read the rest of the book. Reset, An Un-Alien's Guide to Resetting Our Republic by Donnie, one of We, the People. Introduction. We, the people, need to reset our republic. According to the most recent U.S. Census, there are approximately 304 million people living in the United States of America. According to the election data of 2010, roughly 225 million were eligible to vote. Except for very young children, some physical or mental incapacitation preventing understanding, there is not a man, woman, or child that does not know we have serious problems in this country. These problems have increased over the years. It is human nature to want to know why. It is our nature to be curious. Many of us nearly drove our parents crazy with the repeated asking of why. Payback has been visited to many of these children by their own children asking why. Along with curiosity and asking why, it is our nature to be independent. It is our nature to be self-reliant. Self-preservation is our nature. It is our nature to live, to have liberty, and to pursue whatever makes us happy. It is our nature to reason. But it is also our nature to be emotional creatures. When questions go unanswered, when our independence is challenged, when our life is threatened, when liberty is restricted and our happiness is denied, our nature is to react. Instead of reasoning a matter and taking action, when our emotions dominate, we react. One of the first reactions when our dual natures becomes unbalanced is to blame others we perceive and believe responsible for our problems. It's those damn Democrats. It's those damn Republicans. There are other parties, organizations, movements, and even certain persons we may react to in this manner, but we currently live with a dominant two-party political system. When we react to situations, we often become angry or apathetic. Perhaps the two subjects that anger most of us the most are religion and politics. It seems difficult for us to be civil or polite to one another. In defense of our individual positions, we are not apt to even agree to disagree. Many do not want to talk about religion or politics. The principal reason for this dread of the subjects is that both appear so complex, so confusing, and so contradictory, few understand either. But if there is no discussion among us, there is little, if any, opportunity to address our problems or correct them. Anger is an emotion, and it is a natural to become angry over people and things we do not like, understand, or agree with. It is natural to only be interested in what we are interested in. We tend to hang out with those we find interesting, and especially those that agree with us. Around 360 BC, the ancient Greek philosopher Plato wrote a work called The Republic. In this, he mentions an old proverb or saying, perhaps familiar to many of us, "Birds of a feather flock together." One of the most challenging matters, and at the same time, the most awesome attribute of we the people, is how so many differences among us could unite us. How can we possibly understand this and apply this if we know nothing of our history? Our nation has a history of anger. Anger led to a revolution, and it cost many their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. In a word, this anger rose to violence and ended in independence, and the recognition of universal rights such as life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Today, by percentage of the population, not many of us need to put what we truly believe on the line. Besides our military, police, and fire departments, only a small number are in harm's way. Few of us daily commit our lives in life-threatening services for others. We live in an age of incredible technology that can save lives, make life easier, and get us information almost instantly. What we possess or have access to today is perhaps without number. Most of us are more than well fed, clothed, and housed. Most of us have our needs met and many of our wants supplied in abundance. We do not fight an invading military on a daily basis. We have opportunities that were never imagined when our nation was forming. But our nature is that if something costs us little, we place little or no value on it. Often, instead of taking advantage of what we have, we take it for granted. What costs little or nothing to acquire has little or no value in keeping. This book involves American USA history and political science. It is impossible to write this book without bringing up religion or spiritual matters. Now you could look for the nearest exit. You could slam this book down and read no more. You could just get angry. You could just avoid anything political, religious, or spiritual. All these things are your rights and privileges. But if you are going to leave now, before you go, I would just like to mention one final thing. There are many words in the English language that we use today that share a common bond. These words all share an ancient Greek word. For example, political, politics, and police are just a few of these words. But there is another word I would particularly like to draw your attention to that also shares the same common bond. The word is polite. If you are a Christian or not, a simple definition of true Christianity is common courtesy. Our attitude and application of civil discourse and the art of agreeing to disagree should reflect this common courtesy. We should all recognize that each of us all have the same rights to be here, to live, to have liberty, and to be able to pursue whatever makes us happy. This politeness has unified us in the past. It can keep us unified in the present. It can keep us unified in the future. I have tried to put myself in your shoes. Would I read this book if you had written it? I have endeavored to empathize with you. I can reason, and I am an emotional creature. My attention span is certainly not what it used to be. I did not like politics or religion, so I have done my best to write what needs to be written to make it interesting and maybe even entertaining. This book has been written in this manner to, if possible, appeal to all of us, we the people. It has been written because of our differences and because of our common interests. This book is not designed to blame anyone or anything. It is not to accuse, criticize, condemn, or complain. This book was researched to discover and then written to answer one question: why? I was never interested in American history, USA, or political science in school. Religion confused me and made me angry. So I have these two things in common with many people. I can also relate to this poor attitude about politics and religion. And what one is not interested in, they are seldom good at. I am no genius. I am no authority on anything other than perhaps me, myself, and I. I am no one special. I researched and found the information in this book, and so can anyone else. And there is at least one other thing I perhaps have in common with you. I am one of we, the people, just like you. And just like you, I am curious. And just like nearly every child and perhaps you, I want to know why. To have an answer to why was not enough for me. To understand the why of our problems, even to my satisfaction, was not enough. To understand what something is, it is important to understand what it is not. I made a conscious decision not to react to what I found in researching this and in looking for the why. I wanted a solution. I wanted to understand what will work. I wanted to be able to take some kind of action. To understand what will work, it is important to understand what will not work. Problems are numerous, and it seems that solutions are numerous as well. There are many people out there that are trying to solve problems. Problems are like symptoms. One might have a headache and take an aspirin. The same person might experience relief only to develop another symptom from the aspirin and develop an upset stomach. The problems and symptoms seem to grow and expand. It's complicated. But if the true cause of the problems can be discovered and the necessary action taken, the symptoms will disappear. Maybe the cause to your headache was simply dehydration. Drink water and the symptoms will disappear. The whole purpose of education is to be able to take some form of action. The effectiveness of education is simplicity in presentation. A presentation should be uncomplicated enough that every child and even a fool could understand and take the necessary action. If I fail in my presentation here, I trust that you who do understand and agree with the conclusions of this book will further simplify it for the rest of us. This book's whole purpose is formed with three parts. Part one, the symptoms, is to discover why and what will not work in solving the problems of we the people. Part two, the cause, is to discover the singular cause of our problems and when it first occurred. Part three, the prescription, is what we the people can do to correct these problems, eliminate the symptoms, by removing the cause, by a reset of our republic. This is not a revolt or a revolution. This is not to form a new political movement, political organization, or political party. This is not another conspiracy theory, but it does involve a corrupt system and a mindset. This is not to blame any person, persons, or political party. This is not to overthrow any government, but it is about power and control. This is not to replace our Constitution. This is not a work of fiction, but it does involve legal fiction. Quite simply, this book is about a reset, an unalien's guide to resetting our republic. Most of us reset our clocks every year. Many of us have needed to reset, reboot, restore, or reformat a frozen, crashed, or non-functioning computer or mobile device. Our country is, for the most part, fragmented, divided, and non-functioning. All of us need to reset our republic. Every year on the 4th of July, many of us celebrate Independence Day with barbecues, picnics, parades, and fireworks. Why not? This is part of our pursuit of what makes us happy. But being able to pursue what makes us happy depends upon our having life and liberty. These words, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, are just some of our unalienable rights. We read about these from the Declaration of Independence. This 1776 legal document was founded upon the principle that all men and women are created equal. This legal document is the foundation of our independence and our liberty. We need to reset. The Constitution of the United States of America is the legal document and the foundation of our national republic. The preamble of our national constitution, with the words, "We the people," is the legal foundation of our national republic. Our great seal, which is in Latin, E pluribus unum, means out of many, one. We are supposed to be one people out of many states, or a we, which is made up of individuals all having equal rights and all having these unalienable rights. Each state with its own constitution and guarantees a republic form a government. Each state is supposed to be patterned after our national republic. This book is not legal advice. I am no lawyer or constitutional authority, but it has stated before, I found this information in plain sight, and so can anyone. Our Constitution is called the law of the land, but not everyone that participated in writing it was a lawyer. Most of us are not lawyers. Laws are constituted for the lawless, not for the law-abiding. Those that practice law are supposed to do so as a profession, not as a business. We the people authored the Constitution. We need to reset. There is hardly a woman, man, or school-aged child that does not know we have many problems in this country. We can choose to look at it like a glass being half empty or half full. We can choose to be overwhelmed by the problems or excited, energized, and united by our opportunities. Our choices have to be that simple. Our form of government was designed to be so simple that even a fool or a child could understand. But today it has become so complicated that many of the most intelligent among us cannot understand or agree on how to fix these problems or seize the opportunities. Almost daily, a new organization, a new cause, a new political party pops up, or someone asks us to join something with our money and especially with our time. Like doctors on every street corner, each one hands out a different prescription that is supposed to treat some symptom. But is there a single cause? If there is a single cause, when did it occur? What can we do about it? But the most important question of all is, how do we reset our republic? When the cause has been eliminated, the symptoms will disappear. We need to reset. Is there a woman, a man, or school-aged child that does not know something about the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States of America? Yet for most of us, we cannot agree on what was supposed to unite us. We need to reset. Words have meaning, but when their definitions change without our knowledge, and not even a common dictionary will help us to understand them, this produces confusion, inaction, and leads to division among us. For example, we may see the words unalienable and inalienable. Do they mean the same thing? From the dictionary, inalienable and unalienable mean the exact same thing. But law dictionaries, state governments, corporations, and courts define them differently. We need to reset. We read or hear about other words such as liberty, freedom, democracy, republic, rights, privileges, and the list could go on. But most of us do not understand the meaning of these words and cannot agree on their definitions either. We need to reset. What we were taught about the USA in school as children and even as adults attending college seem miles apart. As we grow older, what we were taught appears different than what we experience in our day-to-day living. Often when we cannot understand and agree, we become confused, angry, or just do not get involved and want to be left alone. If we do not live alone, then common sense tells us we live near others that all share common interests like life, liberty, and the right to pursue whatever makes us individually happy. But equal rights do not mean equal abilities. Equal rights mean equal opportunities. Equal rights mean shared responsibilities. For all to share in rights and responsibility, there must be unity. Unity requires agreement. But just because we may freely, reluctantly, or be forced to agree does not mean we are unified. We need to reset. When the population grows larger, it becomes a necessary evil for rules, regulations, and laws to protect our society, to prevent others from taking advantage of us, and to punish those that do. This is the simple definition of government. We need to reset. Nothing written so far that you have read is anything new. We all know these things, but something has happened over time to change all of this. Things are more complicated today. The population is much larger. Some even believe that our system of government is unworkable, it is outdated, and it needs to be completely overhauled, or we need something entirely different. Is that what you believe? We need to reset. There are others that believe our system of government was formed by a few white racists and supremacists. Equal rights were only for them, not women, and not anyone else. But I ask you, do we have unalienable rights such as life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, or do we not? We need to reset. Whatever is made to protect life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness can also be abused to control them. This is why government may be considered a necessary evil. To hold on to power, the powers that be will look for loopholes, a way around something, to compromise, or to interpret the law. No, nothing written so far that you have read is anything new. Common sense tells us that these things are true. But others tell us, and we seem to limp along with the belief, that this is not the way it is today. Is nothing that simple anymore? Is there nothing black or white, just grays? Is there no right or wrong, only compromise? Do the ends justify the means? Is this the way it is today, just the way it is? Are things too complicated now? Is the population too large for what worked in the past? What worked in the past cannot possibly work today. Is that right? These questions were nothing new over 200 years ago either. Let us look back to the year 1775. In 1775, the colonists were already involved with the Revolutionary War. Drafts for the Declaration of Independence had already begun. Drafts for our first Constitution, the Articles of Confederation, were in process. A man from Great Britain, newly arrived here, started work on a manuscript he originally called Plain Truth. On January 10, 1776, a 48-page pamphlet was published and signed, written by an Englishman. It was written anonymously because of its treasonous content, according to the King of England. But this little pamphlet sold as many as 120,000 copies in the first 3 months, 500,000 in the first year, and went through 25 editions in the first year alone. This would be roughly 20 million copies being sold today on Amazon.com. It went on to be published in several languages in several countries. It was the most well-known work in all of the American colonies in its day. It was written in the language understood and accepted by the common people. It was the single fuel for the fire in the hearts of the people to energize them for the cause of independence. All the profits from this work went to General George Washington and the Continental Army, At the suggestion of another, it was retitled Common Sense. Its true author was Thomas Paine. At some of the lowest times during the Revolutionary War, when the cause seemed hopeless, Paine also wrote a series of essays, numbering a total of 158 pages, called Crises. This work rekindled the fire of independence. Years later, he helped flame the French Revolution. This is just one of the examples of the power of just one of us, we the people. We need to reset. Now, I am no Thomas Paine. This is not 1776. This is not a pamphlet of 48 pages. We do not read, write, or think like the common people did over 200 years ago. Our attention span is shorter. There is so much stuff that asks, suggests, or demands our attention today. Things are more complicated today. But we each need to have the same intensity of fire burning in our souls for the same desire for independence as any time in the past. We need to reset. Ours is not a fight with guns, swords, and bloodshed. Ours is a fight for the mind, with the tongue, the pen, and the ballot. We must fight to understand our republic. We must fight to share it with others. We must fight to understand why and how to reset our republic. Ours is not a fight that may cost us our lives, fortunes, and sacred honor. Our fight is so we don't have to lose those precious things. We must unite. We must do it and do it now. We need to reset. Most of us stand in front of a mirror every day or night, right before we go out into public. What we see before us is not the original. It's just a reflection. What I'm about to share in this book may just look like another conspiracy theory. It is not a conspiracy theory. It may read like it is fiction. It is not fiction. It is the truth. It is, as author, humorist, and satirist Mark Twain said, "Truth is stranger than fiction, but it is because fiction is obliged to stick to possibilities. Truth isn't." We are living in a time of a mirror government. This is nothing new. During the times of the Revolutionary War, when our founders were fighting king, military, and against mother country, friends, family, and neighbors, they ran a shadow government. The Continental Congress was a shadow government. Today, this mirror or shadow government looks like the original, but it is not. It is like a movie facade. The front looks real, but it has no sides, top, floor, or back. Much of what we see is like it has been digitally supplied. It may look like blue or green screens. It is like what we see has been supplied as background scenes. What we see has been supplied by special effects because what we see is not there. This is like a parallel world similar to the science fiction movie trilogy called The Matrix. Do we take the red pill and stay deaf, dumb, and blind and live our lives in this fictional world? Do we take the blue pill that only promises the truth? Do we take both pills? Then the mixing, red with blue, it all just becomes a haze, a purple haze. This mirror government is like falling down the rabbit hole from the book, play, and movie we know as Alice in Wonderland. This mirror government is like Dorothy and Toto in The Wizard of Oz. This mirror government is not, it absolutely is not the republic our founding builders envisioned, designed, and framed. We need to reset. Whenever and wherever any government ceases to serve its people, it is no different than if we were being ruled by a monarch, a dictator, or a tyrant, even if with good intentions. We the people are, in a sense, the creators of the Constitution which created the government. We are being ruled by a mirror government. Wrong thinking and wrong actions do not necessarily indicate willful or evil intentions. Both wrong thinking and wrong actions will, however, always produce consequences. But wrong thinking and wrong actions cannot diminish or erase the truth that all of us are equal. All of us, no matter what, still have unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In legal terms, this mirror government is called legal fiction. In Latin terms, we have the one government de jure, according to law, and the other is called de facto, in fact, in reality. Common sense and science tell us that no two solids can occupy the same space at the same time. These two governments cannot coexist. They cannot just get along. Neither can be rehabilitated or changed. We cannot, by political correctness or tender love and compassion, change either one. It is like the fictional characters of Harry Potter and Lord Voldemort. Neither can continue to live while the other remains alive. One must be eliminated. We need to reset. Government de facto, present reality, cannot exist without government de jure, the truth according to law. Government de jure does not need the government de facto. Government de facto is a mirror, a reflection. It is not the original. It is parasitic in nature. It is corrupt and can do nothing but corrupt. Remember these words: power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. We will see these words again. We will learn about the author and see the context of when they were written. But corruption does not care if something is done intentionally or not. It is not based on a sometime thing. Corruption is an all-the-time thing. It either is or it must be eliminated. We need to reset. What we cannot see by knowledge, we cannot understand. What we do not understand and become fatigued by, or tired and worn out from trying to understand, make cowards of us all. We all need to understand. We all need the courage to act. We need to reset. Whether you agree or not with the conclusions of this book, whether you apply its solution or not, this republic and its future remain in our hands. Divided, we will fall and continue to fall. United, we will rise, we will stand together, and we will prosper. For power and control of this government reside in the Constitution. The Constitution is empowered by us, we the people. We are not living during ordinary times. We are living in times of extraordinary occasions. We the people need a guide, an unalien's guide, to reset our republic.